never asking for some mistakes.
Manning goes a lot of the shotgun a lot. Moreno on his left, tight trips to the left side. Single wide receiver near side. And the ball goes into the end zone. It's a flag down. Moreno dives for the ball. It should be a safety, but let's see.
Offense number 18 moving forward to the snap. Hilly's decline. Safety.
The Seahawks are on the board. The first snap of the game. A motion penalty that's declined. Moreno in the backfield. Now he scampers. The ball is hit as it comes down and it's picked up by the Seahawks. Far sideline, Malcolm Smith. 50, 45, he's going to go. 30, nobody's going to touch him. Cuts back 20, 10. The Legion of Boom, the Seahawks defense. They do it again. Holy catfish. Touchdown, Seahawks. Short kick. Percy Harvin with the catch. He's on the run. He breaks free. He's across the 40. The speed. There he goes. Midfield. Look out. He's going to go. Take the second half. Kick up all the way back. Baby. 88 yards for a touchdown. We knew Percy was going to do it tonight. Touchdown, Seahawks. Here comes a four-man rush by Denver. Wilson fires inside. And Kurse makes the catch. Spins out of one. Spins out of two. 10. 5. Touchdown, Seahawks.
Fourth and 11. Touchdowns in all three phases against the Broncos in this game. Manning has it knocked out of his hand. That's a live ball and recovered by Seattle. Either way, they were going to get it. It was knocked out by Clemens. And the Seahawks defense just keeps coming at the Denver Broncos. In his head every time
before he even touches the key. All right, that's it. What a blowout. And they didn't say his name, but that final fumble recovery on a fourth down play by Arkansas's own Jacksonville, Arkansas native, former Memphis Tiger, Clinton McDonald. So big game for him last night on a huge win in a blowout fashion for the Seahawks. And I am blown away. Welcome into the zone today. Justin Akre joined by Phil Elson, Matty T here. And we appreciate you tuning into the zone on a recap of what was a Super Bowl that none of us could have predicted, Phil.
I don't even think that the Seahawks would have thought that they'd have won by a margin like that. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, they could have won by 60.
Yeah. Well, they could have won by at least eight more because a couple of field goals that probably should have been converted into touchdowns. But regardless, it was one of the great defensive performances in history. It is the second fewest points given up since the mid-70s in a Super Bowl game. It was remarkable watching that defense work. And the thing that kills me all week was you had the quiet Warriors over in Denver. They didn't really say much. You had all the guys from Seattle barking, saying, hey, we're going to do what we do. We're not changing anything up. We just think we're good enough to go out and win. We think we can handle what they do. And they were right. And it was funny because it was like the little mouthy kid who beats up the kid that has been sort of accepted as the toughest guy on the block. And Denver was only a slight favorite, so it wasn't any shock that Seattle won. I was just impressed with the way they dominated, and they had a quiet confidence this week. Unless you're listening to Richard Sherman, then they had a very loud confidence this week. But they knew what they could do, and while I didn't expect a blowout like this, and you didn't either, and they didn't either, admittedly, but they knew that they could shut down well enough Denver to win the game.
Boy, I mean, you could really tell from the start, too, that this wasn't going to be the game that everybody expected. I mean, you even look at the opening kickoff, and the Broncos return it from about 8 yards deep in the end zone, only make it to the 15. You're like, well, no, that wasn't a really good decision. And then, the first snap of the game, to me, kind of encapsulated the entire game. I mean, Denver just didn't seem to be ready. That had nothing to do with Seattle's defense. It had everything to do, I guess, with the loudness of the crowd and maybe the preparation that the Broncos, underwent. But from right there, you just, oh, goodness gracious, this is going to be ugly. Yeah. I thought maybe Denver might have a chance to come from behind after that, but after it was 8-0 and they still don't have a first down, and you're like, well, this thing's done.
Well, there were a couple key moments, I thought, too. After all the damage was done, Denver kind of got on track late in the first half, and they had a 4th-and-2 situation, and it was either kick a field goal and make it 22-3, or it was try to go for it. Well, they went for it and didn't get it. Another negative going into half, and then once they gave up the kick return, it was over. There was no question. There was no coming back.
Yeah, I mean, they had a little bit of momentum, I guess, going into halftime. But you're right. I mean, that the kickoff to Harvin and a couple of great moves later, and kiss it goodbye. Just one of a ton of highlights yesterday. And you mentioned about Clint McDonald and the plays he made. But, I mean, there were like 80,000 different plays made on defense by Seattle. That truly was one of the greatest defensive performances in Super Bowl history. It was amazing. Yeah. You look what Denver did during the regular season. You and I talked about it last week. Greatest offense of all time. No one's going to remember that.
No, and you made a great point before the game. It was almost like they weren't playing with a 12th man, but a 13th, 14th, and 15th man. I mean, it was as soon as they touched the ball, or sometimes as the ball was arriving, and in a couple of cases before the ball got there, there was a swarm of Seahawks on a Bronco receiver.
It looked like every time Manning threw the ball, if he tried to throw it deep outside the numbers, there were two or three defenders waiting for him there. Mm-hmm. Over the middle, you know, there were six guys coming towards the ball at the same time. Those wide receiver screens on either side didn't work because every time they caught the ball, they might have one block, but then there's two guys waiting for him right there. Everywhere they looked, there was a silver jersey or blue jersey right in front of them.
Marshawn Lynch kept in check, and I thought Denver's defense did a great job with him. 15 carries, 39 yards, no beast mode on this Super Bowl Sunday. He did have an 18-yard run among those to get to that number. But Percy Harvin was a factor in the run game, obviously a factor in the return game with that kickoff return for a touchdown to sort of put it out of reach in the second half. And the defense provides the difference. 9 tackles for Smith. He had an interception. He had a fumble recovery. And he's named your MVP. It was obviously a great performance from him. Here he is accepting the MVP award, and I thought it was classy, and he's right. This lowly drafted USC grad gives credit, and I said, look, they got to give it to somebody on defense. Yeah. So it's just a matter. It's one guy that's going to represent the whole defense, and he certainly had a standout day with that pick six and the fumble recovery, and not to mention a pretty good tackle total.
I'm just here to represent the defense, honestly. I played a role tonight where I had a couple opportunities, and you've seen guys all year make those kind of plays, and tonight was my turn, and I'm here, but it's definitely on behalf of them.
One thing was a little bit troublesome was that prior to that comment, there was somebody who, I guess it's not a photo bomb, this would be an audio bomb of the press conference or media conference.
It was a truther.
Yes, here's the clip.
Investigate 9/11. 9/11 was perpetrated by people within our own government.
All right.
Any more questions?
Is everybody all right? Check his press pass.
I mean, great comment. But really, dude, I mean, what's going on with Super Bowl security that this idiot can get in there?
It's a good point.
I'm going to guess that he was not a credentialed member of the media. What in the world?
If he was, I hope he's not it any longer.
I'm going to guess that he won't be any further. Okay, so today we could go back and talk about how great Seattle was and how bad Denver was and how everything that could go wrong with 4 turnovers did go wrong for Denver. What I'd rather do is just get your thoughts on the overall grades of the game. Because when it comes to the Super Bowl, and I'm in such a habit of clicking mute on commercials because that's when I talk to my family or right. My friends who were at the game, that you have to sort of retrain yourself after the first couple of commercial breaks to sit there and really pay close attention to the commercials, which I did probably better than I've ever done before last night. But I want to grade the game, which is obviously why we're all together on Super Bowl Sunday.
F.
The halftime show, I want to get your thoughts on that, and then the commercials. I thought the Super Bowl halftime show was a standout among Super Bowl halftime shows for me. I thought Bruno Mars was outstanding. I have flipped my script. I wasn't as excited to see him at Verizon, despite the fact I love the guy as a performer. I think he's incredibly talented, and I think he's the kind of guy that is so talented. He would have worked 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago, 80 years ago. He would have been a great performer.
I've heard some people try to refer to him as the modern-day Frankie Valli.
I think he could be a lot of different things. I mean, he's got some Michael Jackson. I mean, he's got a little bit of this and a little bit of that. The guy's incredibly talented. And he also has what Tommy and I keep talking about, like when Chicago performs, like we saw the other day at the Grammys. Love to see horns. You don't see much with horns. He's got guys who play horns and dance. That's incredible. I like the Red Hot Chili Peppers. That's not everybody's cup of tea. I love them, and I thought they were great. I thought it was a nice addition. There was clearly a mutual respect between the two as well, and a lot of people don't necessarily put the Chili Peppers, you know, high up in their list of favorite rock bands from over the years, but I think they turned out a lot of great music over the years. I like them.
I've always been a fan of the Chili Peppers, but then again, I mean, you and I are, you know, very much contemporaries in age and the music that we grew up listening to, so I mean, that might be a part of it. But I love the Chili Peppers. I didn't get a chance to watch the Super Bowl show, the halftime show, because I was bathing a 20-month-old, and that takes, you know, sometimes 20 minutes. But from what I was reading, you know, it sounded like Bruno was terrific. Everybody really enjoyed him, and I think it was good to have someone who's more contemporary than, you know, I think what we've seen in recent years, which is more the safe choice. Not that he's an unsafe choice, but, you know, guys who were big in the 80s, mm-hmm. Tom Petty, you know, Madonna.
Yeah, I like mixing it in, and it was good. It's nice to have a performer that's good enough in this, you know, in this era to make him the headliner and then mix in some old school, and I thought it was really good what they did. The other thing is he sold a boatload of tickets last night to Verizon Arena would be my guess, because people who are not real familiar with him probably have an appreciation for him. Some who are familiar with him, like me, have a better appreciation for him, haven't seen him perform like that. I thought he was incredible. And by the way, tickets went on sale about 17 minutes ago over Verizon, so if you're interested in going to see Bruno Mars, and oh, by the way, for an added treat, you get Allo Black, who's unbelievably talented. That's the combination playing this summer together, and the tickets went on sale this morning. So, hey, Jana, Michael, great timing on the release of the tickets for sale. Pretty brilliant.
Bruno only had the second highest hair on TV last night. Those promos for New Girl, the CBS show with Prince in the middle. I mean, Prince's hair has grown in recent years. That was, I thought it, I mean, it looked like that was about what, 9 or 8 inches, 8 or 9, 10 inches.
Well, we had Questlove in a Bud Light commercial too. So, I mean, you know, pick your hair. So grades on the game, the halftime, and the commercials. I would give the game a D. However, the Seattle performance was such a virtuoso that I thought it would almost could rise to the level of a C game, because it was so much fun watching them perform at such a high level on special teams, on defense, and frankly, offensively. I thought Russell Wilson was on point, because even when receivers were guarded closely, he put the ball on the money. Whether he's rolling to his left or his right or stuck in the pocket, the guy was brilliant. He pulled it down at the right times. They did so many things. The only thing they did wrong in the first half was they threw the red flag and tried to get a spot overturned and didn't get it. That was the only thing that didn't go their way in the first half. Admittedly, there were some self-inflicted wounds by Denver. Halftime show, I'd give an A-. The only thing I would give it probably better is if that a more widely accepted and more popular addition act would have been thrown in there. I don't know who that is, but if somebody like, it would have been fun to see somebody in the same genre maybe with them together, or maybe even somebody else who was a little more widely liked. I don't know. I love the Chili Peppers, so it was great for me. I would have given it a straight A, but I think trying to think of everybody else is, I'd give it an A-. And then as far as the commercials go, I thought D-. I would give it an F, but I'm thinking maybe if I spent a little more time thinking back over, because I always forget four or five commercials that were really good. Maybe if I think back over it in a few days, I'll feel better about it. So I don't want to give it a straight F, but it was the worst year I can remember for the total package of commercials. Matt, did you watch? Did you catch the commercials?
They were very uneventful.
I thought they were pretty average.
It's like I can't think of any that I would want to put in a highlight.
I really liked the Bud Light commercial with the
soldier
coming home was great.
I liked the Muppet one with Terry Crews.
See, and I thought that was terrible. I thought that was horrible. I liked the one with the dog and the horse. I thought that was cute.
Oh, yeah. I had seen that online, you know, like a week before.
That.
Yeah.
So. See, I think Matty T just likes to watch Terry, the guy in the Muppets commercial. I just pop his pecs.
Yes. He was great in the Old Spice work.
Power.
Yeah. I would give a thumbs up also. And it started out, I thought, was going to be another one of those sort of quiet, stoic Chevy commercials, a Chevy truck, and it turns out to be they're taking the bull out to stud, and it turned out to be pretty good. And
he licks
his nostril, which I thought, what a great talent. And then she licked her nostril, and I thought, you
but
found
I,
your
mate, I couldn't
man.
Help but think though that they're all going to be slaughtered before long.
Maybe,
you know, the commercial,
not the one that gets impregnated.
No, her children will be.
Well, exactly. You know what? Veal for everyone. But you're losing the point. It was a good commercial. Back to focus.
The commercial that got the most response, though, and I thought, you know, it was funny to see the negative responses, was the Coca-Cola America the Beautiful commercial.
I didn't care for it. Not that I don't love diversity, because I embrace it wholeheartedly.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, watching the reactions on Twitter, there were a lot of people that were upset that there weren't any Americans that were singing the song. But I think that was the whole point of the commercial.
Right. There were two commercials that were a little bit...
The Cheerios controversy commercial.
I don't think that was a controversy.
Oh, really?
I think that would have been released online, too. And it was a follow-up to a previous Cheerios.
And I don't mind the message of the commercial. I just don't like the commercial.
Yeah, I don't...
I find it annoying.
I didn't really get anything from me. The point was... Two commercials that, to me, there were very strongly differing opinions. The Chevy commercial I talked about with the bull, some people thought that was kind of lame. And then the one about the Coke commercial you talked about, that was more controversial, certainly. Let's take some calls here. Your grade on the three facets of the Super Bowl, Ben.
Well, as far as the commercials go, I didn't think anything stood out. I thought it was just a little bit above average. The halftime show, I thought that it was entertaining. And as far as, with the activity of him and his band, you know, I thought that they energized everything. But now, of course, I'm biased because I am a Seahawk fan. So I thought, as far as the game is concerned, it was an A+. And I don't know if you guys saw it or not, But they did mention last night that the first 2 points were scored with 12 seconds expired in the first half. And then, of course, the kickoff, there was 12 there.
Mm-hmm.
12 seconds had passed when they scored that touchdown. And, of course, 4 quarters times 12 is 48. So I just thought that the 12th man was represented nice, and I'll hang up on this.
It's a great coincidence, I suppose, Ben. That's a good point. And the 12 seconds on both scores is pretty remarkable. Fastest score in the history of the Super Bowl, which is surprising because there was an opening kickoff return for a touchdown.
Hester versus the Colts.
Must have taken 13 seconds.
Must have.
And then they got their butts kicked the rest of the day. That was the one win that Peyton Manning got, oddly enough.
Mm-hmm.
So he's seen quick scores before against his team in the Super Bowl. This one didn't work out so well. Shane.
Hey, what's up, guys? What? I specifically wanted to talk about the halftime show. I thought it was great, and I've seen in a couple of news outlets that kind of been dumping on it and saying the Chili Peppers were old and all this stuff, and I love the Chili Peppers. I just wanted to point out in an era of everything's auto-tune and all the sounds are flown in and everything's fake, you had real musicians playing real music with a ton of energy, and I thought it was fun, and I love the horn section too.
Now, I don't know. I saw a photo of Flea's bass guitar.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something else.
No, I mean, and when you're talking about photos of the Chili Peppers, you never know what you're going
to
get.
That's right. Well, he threatened to expose some parts of his anatomy, and I thought, well, gee, after threatening to do it on Twitter this week, you might want to go ahead and fire off, my friend, because it's 22-0 at the half.
Of course, that's what they've been doing for decades.
Right.
You know, socks and nothing else.
That's right.
Socks are very, you know, place
looks good on you, though.
Yeah. But, yeah, it wasn't plugged in. I mean, maybe it was wireless, but there was nothing plugged into the actual jack at the end of his bass guitars. I love the Chili Peppers. I don't care whether or not they really played. I think as we age, we should all be lucky to have that much energy at that age. And to me, they're going to be like the Rolling Stones. They're never going to break up. They're going to be together forever. They're going to be together 50 years.
I'd like to look as good as Anthony Kiedis does with my shirt off, which I've never had that moment in my life where I look very good with my shirt off.
Did you notice they kept calling it a concert, too?
What?
That halftime performance?
I mean, it is a concert. Of
is
sorts.
It?
Sure.
All right, well, if I went to a concert and it only lasted 10 minutes, I'd want my money back.
Well, you don't pay for the concert, though. It's a free concert.
Well, it's
man.
Not a concert. It's a halftime performance.
Well, whatever. It really is.
Yeah, whatever.
You're really a little hung up on the semantics of what we're calling the halftime show.
Well, let's not.
That's what he's tuning in for, though. I mean, anyway, we're talking about Matty T.
Shane, you got grades. What was your grade for the halftime show, then?
I'm going to give it an A. I'll give it a straight A.
What as far as concerts go, how was it?
Shut up. How was the game? What'd you think of the game, grade-wise?
I gave the game a C. I wanted to see Peyton get him another one. I'm with you, though, that Seattle was just, they were as good as you thought they possibly could be, or any team could be, and so that was at least fun to watch. I gave it a C.
And,
commercials,
yep.
I give a C as well.
I heard the morning guys bagging on the national anthem. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I know, and I never saw her on The Sopranos.
Cute. I thought she was really good, though. Apparently, she didn't hit her high note at the end, and maybe that took a little bit away from the performance, but I thought overall it was very solid.
Not memorable, though.
Well, yeah.
I remembered it today.
She got all
you
the
won't
word,
next
she
year.
She got all the words right. There weren't too many warbles and stuff like that, and, you know, I didn't try to overdo it, so I think she was fine.
Yeah, if you don't miss a word, you automatically get a C if you get all the words right, and then it's up from there. So, Shane, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Basics first. Words.
Yes.
Melody.
Words. Dennis.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
How are you?
I'm going to make about three comments and hang up and listen. I thought I'd never say this, but last night there was way too much game and not enough commercials. secondly, offense is for show, defense is for the dough.
Mm-hmm.
And thirdly, my condolences out to Terry Bradshaw and his family.
I don't know what happened with him.
His dad passed away.
Okay. Mm. I heard the guys on the postgame show refer to Terry being back in Louisiana. I didn't know why.
Mm.
So, and I also noticed that Strahan was giving the Super Bowl trophy away, and when it's been Fox, it's been Bradshaw who's been up there, which makes a lot of sense. He knows what it's like to raise that trophy.
Well, he probably would have been there again. Congratulations
to show you what's important.
Yeah,
thank you guys.
Appreciate the call, and congratulations to Michael Strahan, too, after all the debate this week. He does get into the Hall of Fame. And
he got an apology for Warren Sapp.
And frankly, that might be a bit greater achievement than making it into the Hall of Fame.
I think so, too. I don't think Sapp has apologized to anybody openly ever.
I think you make a good point. Brandon.
Hi, my favorite commercial was the Dell Jr. duck call.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah, and I was wanting to ask you, what do you think it takes for Russell Wilson to get an MVP? I mean, he played as well as he probably could have.
I think because the defense dominated so much that that's it was sort of given that way. But I thought he played one of his best games of the year. He threw some balls to some guys that were not very open, and they now let's be honest too, his receivers were doing work. Now they the curse touchdown where he did the 360 two times over. I guess that'd be a 720, and got in the end zone. Spins one way, gets hit again, spins the other way. But I thought Wilson played for what they asked him to do, and I'm not diminishing at all his contribution because he played extremely well anyway. But I thought he played very, very well. But again, I don't think it overshadowed the dominance of the defense.
No, I mean, when you remember this Super Bowl, you are going to remember the defensive performance first and foremost. Special teams partially, but I mean, that's why it's so difficult to pick an MVP when it's a defensive dominated game, and it really wasn't just one player who dominated defensively. You can't point to a ton of sacks or someone that made two or three interceptions.
Cam Chancellor was incredible last night.
What about Cliff Avril? I mean, he was responsible for the first interception. He was responsible for, I mean, the one that was returned for a touchdown because he knocked the ball up in the air.
Yeah.
I mean, he had two passes defensed. He had three solo tackles, a couple of QB hits. He got in on Manning. I mean, that was one guy you could point to. But I heard, you know, someone say also that he would probably have the tiniest stat line for a Super Bowl MVP in history. True. But it had to come from the defense.
Sure, absolutely. I agree with you. And again, I think there are many years where Wilson's performance does earn him the MVP.
Absolutely.
Because he played very well. Matt would agree. Seahawks put on quite a good concert last night, don't you think?
It was a great performance.
Oh, the Seahawks. Great concert last night.
A virtuoso concert by the Seahawks.
Yes, they were the great sopranos last night. Hey, Mike.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I really liked the halftime show. I liked Queen Latifah doing God Bless America. Mm-hmm. And I really liked that opera lady did hit that high note at the end twice. But I wanted to give kudos and congratulations to Ray Guy for finally getting in the Football Hall of Fame. Thanks for taking my call.
Mike, I'm glad you brought that up. I really am. When I was a kid, I guess I sort of sensed my limitations from an athletic standpoint, and I grew up wanting to be a punter. Ray Guy was my guy when I was a kid. I loved Ray Guy.
I've heard some people.
I have a Ray Guy trading card.
What's the problem that some people have with a punter getting into the Hall of Fame? I mean, it's a position
because it's never happened before.
Well, it should.
I think Reggie Roby should get in the Super Bowl in the Hall of Fame too.
Peter King thinks Shane Leckler might be a Hall of Famer at some point. I mean, it's a pretty important position. That's well, not the toughest guys on the field, but
how many field goal kickers are in?
I can't think off the top of my head really.
Vinatieri's a Hall of Famer, right?
There're going to be some, yeah, yeah. Vinatieri's a Hall of Famer, I think, no doubt.
Morton Anderson?
He has to be. Yeah. I don't see how he couldn't be. A guy like Gary Anderson, maybe, although I don't think that's happened yet.
Morton, Gary, all the Anderson boys. Put them all in.
Garrow?
Sure. Yeah. Just because his name's Garrow and his last name starts with a Y.
That's right.
You don't get many of those guys.
G-Y.
I know, it's like, if you look through the Hall of Fame, there just aren't that many. There's probably a couple Youngs in the Hall of Fame.
I think George Young, the former GM of the Giants, I think he might be in.
Should be. All right, we'll take more of your calls. I want to get your thoughts on the halftime, the Super Bowl game, and the commercials, or as I like to call it, the concert last night on Fox was great.